Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With the pump fake and a one dribble inside to the long two, and he makes it. That's been his game his whole career. But look at him smiling. We go, my bad. The long two. My bad.
Welcome to another episode of the Long Two. I am Pete Rogers. He is Natty Wallach. And we are a Carmelo Stanthony podcast, but occasionally talk fantasy basketball. And Natty, how you doing today?
I'm okay, Pete. Howdy, what's up? What's going on with you?
Ooh, not too much. I have to say, man, it feels as we are sitting, watching the bubble, watching the playoffs, watching all of this beautiful chaos go down. It does feel like a lot passes between podcasts. I often look back and I'm like, wow, that's what we talked about on last week's show. Holy shit. There are so many different plot points that we need to touch on.
It's incredible. So much changes from game to game, or it seems like it does, but really like the Clippers Nuggets series, all it was 3-1 Clippers. And then the Nuggets won the rest of them. So it just seems like so much happening, though. But, like, the Lakers haven't played in, like, months, it feels like.
That is super true. I also like your, like, very calm description of what happened to the Clippers-Nuggets series. It's like, I mean, all that happened was the Clippers were up 3-1, and then the Nuggets just won the rest of their game. So it's really not that crazy. I mean, the Clippers were up 3-1, this team, with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Playoff P, Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, this team that was supposed to be a title contender, was up 3-1 against the lowly Denver Nuggets. And what do you know? The Joker and Jamal Murray decide, fuck you, we're going to the Western Conference Finals.
That series was amazing.
What happened to the Clippers, man?
They refused to go small. They asked too much of Montrezl Harrell, a person who had not been able to play in the seeding games due to a death in the family, and so was also playing with grief and perhaps shouldn't have been asked to do so much. And their two best players didn't play very well. So it was, I mean, I know everybody freaked out, and I was too. Like, that game was amazing. The whole series was incredible. But the explanation is really simple. Like, Denver played really, really well, and LA did not in any facet of the series. Like, they just didn't look like a world beater. They didn't look like a competent team. They didn't look like a playoff team, really. They played with lethargy. They were not creative at all. They took shots that were just silly. And I think everyone's going to remember Paul George hitting the backboard. And when I saw that,
for Playoff P.
Like, holy fucking shit. What the hell was that? But, you know, like, that's what coaches are for. And that's what stars are for. And that's what hearts of teams are for. And no one stepped up, or at least no one was able to do it effectively. And they just didn't really know how to play Joker. And I think that's because Jokic is a changeup. In baseball, you know, like, you're putting dudes away with your chain. You're trying to change speeds. You're trying to fool people. And it fucks with them because batters are in a rhythm. And so are people on a basketball court. Jokic moves so slowly, but scores anyway and knows how to pass and just sees the entire court. He's like slow-mo Kyle Anderson, but the best version. He's just incredible. His behind the head pass in the paint ridiculous.
Dude. The cockiest fucking pass in all of playoff basketball.
Dude, but also he knew it was there.
Yeah.
He knew that
was
there.
You're totally right. You're totally right that Jokic, watching anytime Jokic make a highlight, it is like watching a man play in molasses, like a 40-year-old man play in molasses among like 20-year-old athletes. And yet it works. And yet Jokic routinely gets those awkward, like, you know, shots across the paint as he's moving, you know, parallel to the paint, or these like post-up games where he's shooting off of like his right foot with his right hand and they go in, and you're just like, I think we talked a lot on this show throughout this playoff series and throughout the bubble in general, just like all the stars that have emerged, right? The young players who've like really cemented themselves. Obviously Luka and Jamal Murray were two guys. I mean, Jamal Murray did it in the playoffs. Luka did it in the playoffs as well. And were two guys who really cemented themselves as like, wow, these are people to take note. Luka, especially. This series, the last three games of this series, this had to be like Jokic's, not even coming out party, but like, I'm a top 10 player in the league party, right?
I'm one of the guys that beat Kawhi Leonard.
There's no one else in the league like him. Like, has there ever been someone in the NBA who's been this combination of like, can score, obviously can rebound. His passes are incredible. I mean, he's such vision on the court, as well as like just the way he looks and the way he plays. I saw someone pump into Basketball Reference Jokic's playoff stats and like search all of the NBA database to tell you who else has done it. And there's been one other player who's done it. You want to take a guess?
Who's done what exactly?
Oh, I need to find the tweet. You're put. God damn it, Natty.
That's fine.
It was something let me think. It was like 20 points, 20 plus points, 10 plus boards, assists, and like a block or something.
Kobe is the only other person?
Larry Bird.
Okay. Kobe that like triple doubles early enough in a game or something. Like there was some crazy stat.
Kobe also is, well, I mean, Jason Tatum's got a nice Kobe LeBron stat. We'll touch on the Celtics a little bit later in the show, but for now, this is a Nikola Jokic appreciation section, but he just,
fastest to a triple double ever.
He is incredible, man. Yeah. He is something to behold.
How can he be the fastest to anything? That fucking slow ass motherfucker.
Right?
Jesus.
And it's something where it's something now too, where it's like you can't think that the Western Conference Finals is going to be a pushover, right? Like you can't feel like, oh man, the Lakers now have this easy path to the finals. You can't treat the Nuggets like that anymore. This team is fucking good. And they're coming off of a series in which they were down 3-1 and won it. Like, this team is riding as high as they possibly can. Right? Like, this team has won game sevens back-to-back.
Twice in a row.
And now they're going
down
3-1,
and it's unreal.
Like, can't count this team out.
Like, Joker looks even odder because of all of the athleticism, like you said, around him. Like, there's just little dudes whizzing all over the fucking place, and like, there he is. Somehow he lumbered down the court and like he's up at the elbow and he's making ridiculous passes and he doesn't like need to score. He's also like, he is the point guard. He's the point set. Like he wants to get other people going. He'll score if he has to, which is just so Kyle Lowry. That's amazing. There's the matchup with the Lakers. Okay. So looking at some numbers, Denver has the second best 3-point percentage of playoff teams, and the Lakers have the 11th. And Denver has the second best free throw percentage, and the Lakers are 13th. LA has a better defensive rating in the playoffs overall. They're number 3 compared to Denver's 11th. But since Golden Gary Harris came back on August 30th in the Utah series, Denver and LA basically have the same defensive rating. 4th and 5th, it's 106, I believe. Like, one's 106.1 and one's 106.3 or something. It's getting their defense back. Denver changed everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it meant of that course. Jamal Murray didn't have to score 50 points every game to win.
Yeah, no, the addition of Gary Harris was huge. And just like helped settle everything. It helped. You didn't need Michael Porter Jr. on the court as much.
Right.
Which is
and
big.
He isn't being asked to defend like the best perimeter
right.
player.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like now like, MPG can like sort of chill, not chill, but like he's, I think that's so good for him. That's so right.
You, he gives you 20 minutes and a near double double, you know, 10 and six or 10 and seven. Like that's exactly
good boards that young
right,
man. Yeah.
Right. And like, that's exactly what you want from Michael Porter Jr. Whereas before when Gary Harris was injured, Porter was thrust into a bigger role and his defense was being taken advantage of. And then the addition of Gary Harris settled everything down. Jeremy Grant, we haven't like he, I don't even feel like he's tapped into the ceiling that we thought he had with Oklahoma. It's just, this is a team that I'll say we like this team. We've liked this team for a long time. Jokic is just such a lovable figure in basketball, and just and his game is just so unique that it's really I for one thoroughly enjoy seeing the fact that this Nuggets team having to play two game sevens, like both of those games came out won and didn't get sent home early. Like this is a team that I think is so young and with so much potential that the further they make it down this playoff route, the more experience they're going to get, the better they're going to be for 2021. And this team easily, we'd seen them before where they like came in as a top seed and got knocked out in the first round. And like that felt like their path yet again. And yet here we are, Western Conference final. They're going up against the Lakers for a chance to be in the finals.
They are. So Michael Porter Jr. only had 2 points last game, but he only shot twice. He had 7 rebounds. He had a positive plus. Like the team now fits. Like, now they have 9 players they can play. You know, Plumlee comes in when Joker has some foul trouble. There's Michael Porter. Torrey Craig, he seemed to have a good game. Monty Morris, who we both like.
Yep.
Dude, but Jamal Murray had 40 points. Guess how many points Kawhi Leonard and Paul George had combined?
Let's see. Let's see if I can think of this on the spot. 30.
24.
That's so then this is the next question. Like this is or this is the segue. Beautiful segue by yours truly. has this done anything to the Clippers? Are the Clippers at a like irredeemable, right? Or not irredeemable, unfixable? Is that the like is this a blemish on Kawhi? Is Kawhi no longer, can we no longer consider Kawhi Leonard the best player in basketball? Was Paul George the right building piece for him? What are these Clippers going to do in 2021? Like there now are so many questions about this Clippers team that like what are next steps for them, Natty? What does this leave the Clippers?
I am a Clippers truther, unfortunately. I think this was a weird series, and the Clippers had a weird year. And if they had had an entire 82-game season, they would have had time to get everyone together and healthy and playing. And
yeah, but that excuse rubs me the wrong way, because Kawhi Leonard won a championship with Toronto Raptors after play. Like he didn't have like a whole multiple years to get acquainted with those guys. And yes, the 82 game season is different than whatever they ultimately played 60, you know, and then going into the bubble. But I don't quite know if I buy the like, well, we weren't all meshing yet.
Okay, fair enough. The Toronto Raptors have a better team all around than the Clippers do. Or at least they did last year. Like that was just a better team, I think. The Clippers had weird stuff happen to them in the bubble. They were missing people. Then it took people some time to get back. He started Zubats for some reason. I don't really know why you would do that. Morris should have been just trying to fuck Joker up really from the get go. And it's tough for me to blame Doc too much when like, yo, Paul George, do better than 2 from 11 from 3-point. And Kawhi Leonard, you went 6 for 22 from the field. I think everybody did a bad job, but in different ways. And then, like, Jeff Green is there seeming to play well, but it's like, if he's your most consistent player, then that's a really big problem. I also feel like the perimeter players on this team are extremely good. And it's your, you know, inside dudes. Like, they just had no fun. They didn't come up with a solution for Joker. Maybe that's because Joker is singular. And there is, yeah, you know, he's just a 22-year-old basketball genius. Like, that's totally 22. Possible.
22!
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
So, dude, like, if Denver beats the Lakers, then we're not going to feel as badly about the Clippers. You know what I mean? Because it's, 'cause then everyone's going to be like, oh, shit, no, wait. Joker's one of the five best players in the league. Maybe he's the best one right now in the bubble. Also, Mike Malone, the coach for Denver, changed things. You know, he tried different stuff. He was very sort of
Mike Budenholzer. Are you taking notes, Mike, about how you can change in the middle of a series? Hope you're taking notes.
The NBA playoffs used to be so chalk, and more and more recently, it seems like it's becoming more like the NFL, where it's like you need to be able to change your game plan in the playoffs because other teams have been scheming for it. They know what you like to do. The Clippers just didn't try anything, you know? Like, it took them so long to put Kawhi onto Joker. I don't even know if that really worked. Is Paul George worth the money? Is really the question for the Clippers. I think that he is.
Okay.
There are very few players that are better than him in the NBA, at least in the regular season. And if you let him go, you're going to have to complement Kawhi with at least, you probably won't get somebody better, but you have to get like an accumulation of talent that will give him a better chance. Because if the Clippers don't win next year, then Kawhi's gone, probably. Like,
oh, 100%.
Yeah. So, or maybe he stays. I don't know. Who knows?
No. This is what's happening. If the Clippers don't win next year, Kawhi is calling up Giannis and saying, let's go win a championship for Milwaukee.
Yeah, but if you're Giannis, it's like, hey, man, I don't really know what your decision-making process is, and I don't really know if I need you on my team. Like, Kawhi is not an emotional leader publicly. I have no idea how he is in the locker room, but out on the court, he's not like clapping his hands and yelling at people. He's not Jimmy Butler. Right. You know, like, he's not demanding excellence. And it doesn't seem like Paul George is like wants that responsibility. I sort of felt like Pat Bev would be the guy that did that. And Patrick Beverley had an okay game. 4 for 7, played 30 minutes, 6 assists. Like,
This team shouldn't have done better.
They were up 3-1. They should have won. They should have won the series.
Just win a game. Just win a game. That's all you need to do. And then Absolutely. You can get trounced by the Lakers, but win a game. If the Nuggets were to go to the finals and beat the Lakers, which LA team would you be most worried about moving forward?
The Clippers.
Okay. I think that's right.
I mean, I'd rather have LeBron and Anthony Davis than Kawhi and Paul George, and that was true.
Does Anthony Davis leave if the Lakers? Does he re-up with the Lakers if they lose here?
It depends on the money, and it depends on like which teams. Like, if
Natty, I need sound bites. I need really hot, sexy sound bites.
If he threatened to leave, Boston would try to get him because Boston's been trying to get him.
Oh God! As long as it doesn't mean trading. There are three people who can't be touched on that team. Jalen, Jason, Mackus.
Yeah. I mean, the Lakers would get back Kemba, which wouldn't be the worst thing for LeBron because traditionally he plays well with a nice guard that can score. I mean, Kemba wouldn't be like any of the fucking point guards that he's played with. But if Anthony Davis was gone and the Lakers had, like, I'd be trying to get Ben Simmons. I'd be like, yo, this Philadelphia isn't working. Like, we'll do whatever we need to. I think he's a clutch guy anyway. And then Simmons gets to be he and LeBron get to be the distributors. And all of a sudden, like, guards are just sort of the fungible things and you don't really have centers. LeBron can get enough talent. I think we've seen that. Like, he's gone to the finals with seemingly less talented teams, but they work around him. And if he loses AD, that's a big punch. But then again, if they lose to Denver, then I assume it's because of Anthony Davis. Or I guess their guard, like all their guards could just go cold.
Right. That's, well, that's, I mean, totally possible. Jamal Murray's going to probably average like 60 against them.
Yeah. The thing about Jamal Murray is that he's gone up against elite defensive players already, and it doesn't seem to fucking matter.
No, it really doesn't faze him, which is like, whew, cojones.
He scored 40 on the Clippers in a do-or-die game.
In a do-or-die game. And they blew them out. They blew them out. 104-89.
Up by 20 at one point. It's just...
What are we doing here?
What do you think? I mean, are the Clippers in trouble?
Yes! I don't know. I think that Paul George had not looked like Paul George for a good portion of this season. And I think that the Clippers should have made a move for a bit. Everyone who was anyone was saying this at the deadline, where it's like, go get a big, go get Tristan Thompson, go get someone who you can play, who can rebound and at least mildly protect the paint. Because like we said, I mean, yes, maybe Jokic is just unguardable, which is entirely true. I don't doubt that. But like, make a move. This was the thing that was so confusing to me, where it's like these teams that had playoff aspirations, and maybe this is something they'll learn, but like this is the mark, and this is what I'm worried about with the Celtics right now, is just like, if you think that you have a championship window, do what it takes to improve your team at the deadline. Like, make those moves. Don't just sit there and be like, I think our roster is good. Go make moves. The Heat added Andre Iguodala. Like, that was a good move. Good addition for them as a veteran presence there. Like, play, like, go get good players to fix those holes. The Rockets traded away Clint Capella and didn't do anything to like shore up their, you know, interior presence, and bye-bye Rockets. That's a whole other spiel. I mean, we could do a whole podcast about that team falling apart. So it's just, I just feel like the Clippers, it'll be interesting to see what is done. I think that the Clippers, this was a team that was like thrown together and was like playoff or championship or bust, and the bust came. So what's going to happen? Is everyone going to be like, we're still in this, like, let's put it together and let's build it again? Or because none of these guys have like allegiances to the Clippers, especially Kawhi or Paul George, are they going to be like, nah, this isn't it for us. We don't want to be like the competing LA team with LeBron and AD. Let's go get our own. I don't know. I have no idea. It'll be interesting to see what all plays out.
I totally feel you, and I don't want to be an apologist, but I do feel like this, the loss itself is unique, but the team not winning the finals is reminiscent to me of the first Heatles year, where, you know, like everyone thought, and they declared, yeah, we're fucking winning. And maybe they did have the most talent, but they didn't know how to play with each other yet. It's hard for stars, for really elite players, to learn how to play with each other, and it's hard for role players to learn how to play with stars. Toronto was so well coached, and the team structure that Masai Ujiri had built was so inviting. That's why Kawhi won in Toronto. Also, they didn't ask too much of him. They were like, oh yeah, every seventh game you get off. Yeah, you don't have to play every game. That's totally cool. We don't mind. You're here because we have a window and we want to try to win.
Right.
And we think you're going to leave anyway. The Clippers have a bunch of good players on their team that were there before Paul George and Kawhi got there, and that team was successful. Doc has this cloud now because he's coached multiple teams that have lost when they were up 3-1. But for almost all of those series, it's like, yeah, but LeBron caught fire when Doc was coaching the Magic, I think, or, you know, like someone was hurt. There are always sort of reasons for why these things happen. And for this one, I think it is his worst coaching job, because it's like, they didn't change at all. They just didn't try anything new. Right. And he has all these assistant coaches. Like, what the fuck was Sam Cassell doing? Like, what were these guys? I think they were just saying, no, you're better than this, and eventually it'll click. But man, I just feel like there's I like so many players on the Clippers, and I just think it's really, really hard in year one. Like, name the teams that are excellent in year one outside of Kawhi with the Raptors last year, which was not year one. 2008 it was Celtics. 1 year. Okay.
That's all I got.
A Doc You're right. team? Is that a Doc Rivers team, Pete?
That is a Doc Rivers team.
See, so like, if we're going to hate him for when he's bad, we should love him for when he's good.
Got Doc.
Ubuntu.
All right, we have to pause this train of thought for a quick ad break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Let's jump back into it. It's just a question of whether or not, like, will the Clippers stick together? We'll see. I'm curious. It is an interesting and exciting narrative.
And like, Lou Williams was 3-for-11 and was just the problem. Like, Sweet Lou and Montrezl Harrell, like, maybe shouldn't have been playing as much as they did.
But they didn't have any depth not to do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
for sure.
That's, again,
totally.
Make those moves. Build, like, it's just something where it's. Especially with last year being won by the Raptors, you look at the Raptors, last year's Raptor squad, and you're like, there was depth at every single position,
yeah.
Right? They could go like 8-9 deep, and cool. All of those guys could be starting /6. Like, that was.
And they
was
made a, trades. They got big.
And they
Marc
made
Gasol.
Moves. They got Marc Gasol. Exactly. And it's just, that's the kind of thing where it's like, and that's why people, I mean, if Gordo comes back, that's why the Celtics, people are really high on the Celtics, is because the Celtics had that depth, you know, they had that, but the loss of Gordo is huge, obviously. And so it's just, I'm always surprised when, unless you have, and maybe this is something to take it, like, maybe this is a further just like miraculousness of LeBron, where it's like, even Kawhi Leonard and Paul George need people around them. And somehow we're so used to like LeBron being like, just put someone with LeBron and who gives a fuck who else is there? LeBron will carry you. And maybe that's more of a testament to just how crazy, insane LeBron is, more so than like how to properly construct a team. Like, don't just be like, we've got Giannis, let's just ride with it. It's like, no, keep Malcolm Brogdon, keep building, like, go get yourself a legit center, like, give yourself actual pieces. I'll be curious to see if we see a swing more to like depth rather than get me 2 to 3 stars and let's just ride or die with them.
Dude, but that is such a good point. I love that point, Pete, because you're absolutely right. Everyone has been treating stars since LeBron as if they're as smart as LeBron. Like, you, right. Like, you know how to play and everyone else will rise up to play with you. Like, all of the Clippers loss is the best thing in the world that ever happened to LeBron James. That is so chef's kiss. Like, fuck you guys.
You try to come to LA, you try to build a super team. Oh, and it fails.
And the reasons don't matter. Like, even if the Lakers go out against Denver, it's still going to be that the Clippers lost because they talked so much fucking shit. Meanwhile, and I love Pat Bev, and he's sort of like, Kawhi doesn't say anything, and Paul George, I mean,
doesn't
he's fishing
also
all
really
the time.
Say anything.
Yeah, but I love Patrick Beverley so much. I want Pat Bev and Marcus Smart to be on the same team.
I do not want that.
Oh, what? It would be incredible.
I mean,
it would be
incredible
so
to watch.
Awesome.
But I also, I mean, what you need is you need a lineup of Kyle Lowry, Patrick Beverley, and Marcus Smart, and you'd have
there
flops
you go.
For days. So many flops.
You don't even need the other two guys. Just those three against a 5-man squad. Let's go.
Oh, my God. That would be the most.
Okay, let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
If you could make any realistic move with the Clippers, you're keeping PG-13 and Kawhi.
Yeah.
What would you try to do?
I mean, you'd have to look at the West, and it's get a big man, right? Unless Kawhi is going to guard, you know, unless one of Kawhi or Paul George is going to guard Jokic or guard Anthony Davis, you need a big man. You need someone like, so you threw this out on last week's show when we were talking about CP3 trade destinations, and you said Dallas Mavericks could be a piece away from finals contention. What if you did a Kristaps for CP3 trade? I don't know how the Clippers would muster enough energy for this, but like, I don't know, Kristaps or getting yourself like this, like a unicorn-ish big to go along with, you know, Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. Now, I guess that's also me going right back against my team building of depth. And it's like, nope, we're getting three stars and we're running with it.
No, but it's
Tristan Thompson.
You need to have weapons too. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. But like, if you could put if you could keep Marcus Morris Sr. as the guy that just kicks the shit out of dudes when you want to. The Punisher. Right. And then Kristaps is there, and you know, Kristaps is great at blocks too. Like, he's not some fucking dud. It's just a little scary when someone's that big and like,
and people are barreling at him full speed and he's got a torn ACL already. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like Jokic, I mean, they're basically the same height, I think, but like Jokic is built like Shaq. Like, that motherfucker is gonna be okay.
That guy is,
you know,
a tank.
It is it's incredible. But yeah, I for the people that think that this Clippers team would have done better without the Paul George trade, and so they would have had Danilo Gallinari and SGA, I don't agree with that. Like, I don't see why, and I love Gallinari. This podcast loves Danilo Gallinari. Yep. But I don't see why. Oh, for sure. But Gallinari's defense is
suspect.
And SGA is young. We like both those players, but I don't see why that would like really change the calculus unless it had been the impetus for the Clippers to be like, okay, let's go get a real, like, Al Horford. Like, if it had been a regular season and Al Horford had been on the bench in Philly and they were like, well, shit.
If they could have gotten like 2019 Al Horford, that's what they're missing.
I think you can have that if you're not going to play him all the time, though. And I don't think that they...
Maybe. But yes, they're in a tough spot. Al Horford is that kind of guy. Al Horford is that guy who, like, he was the engine to the Celtics defense when he was there, where he was super smart on switches. He would play the lane extremely well. He was the guy that he and Baines were the guys they used to slow down Giannis. Like, he was a phenomenal facilitator both on offense and defense for the Celtics. And so, like, I think that is again the piece that this Clippers team, they just need, they need a third person, but they also need that third person to be able to guard big men, unless PG or Kawhi is going to bulk up and like make it their sole mission to go against Jokic. You know what I mean? Like, Kawhi and PG can shut down the wings. I don't like, so you need someone to play the paint.
And like, getting someone like Sabonis wouldn't help your defense.
No,
maybe Miles Turner, but I don't really know if he's.
But like, it could be, but that change of scenery could be the thing that Miles Turner needs to like fully become the guy who we've wanted him to be, which is this like elite rim protector who can shoot threes.
We talk about it all the time. Centers are fungible, but they are still important under the right situation. Like, Enes Kanter isn't going to play in the playoffs ever again, but like, it was good that he was there in the regular season and for the first series. There are bigs out there you can go get. Like, how about one of the young bigs from the Kings? Like, they have 19 of them. Just go grab one. Or you know what, dude? Just do what we fucking told everyone to do anyway. Go get Aaron Baines.
Just get Aaron Baines. Just solve your problems. Hey, you know what? You know what? You know what big the Clippers could use?
Who's that?
Who isn't fungible? Who is redefining what the big position means?
Nice segue. I feel it coming. Say it.
Thank you.
Do it.
Bam Adebayo.
Oh, even I thought you were talking about Blake Griffin. Oh, never mind. Just kidding.
Even I, Dr. Pete can put on a stethoscope, and even fan Celtics Pete can take off the stethoscope. Holy mother of God, that block was just soul-crushing and mind-blowing all at the same time.
I hope no one shakes that man's hand. Like, that looks fucking disgusting almost while being impressive. The fact that it's his offhand, the fact that it's right there at the, like, if it's just a millisecond, like, millimeter.
Or even just, like, a little bit off. It was, like, palm to palm, right at the rim. Taysom was coming for a body. Tatum, combine those names. Tatum was coming for a body to end the game, to, like, put the punctuation mark on it. And holy buckets, was that a rejection.
We keep seeing blocks in the playoffs that stay with us more than any dunk and more than a lot of threes. And it's really fucking kind of impressive. Like, it almost makes me think, oh shit, now the Heat are definitely going to win. Except the reason the Celtics lost isn't because of that block. It's because Kemba went 1-for-9 from three.
Needs to figure his shit out.
Dude, if he makes even two more, you win that game. You know, even like, it's just bucket.
Right.
It's just not. There are so many narratives. This is why things change so quickly between podcasts, because right. You can just dig into this shit. But it's like, when you look at the forest rather than the trees, why did Boston lose? Oh, because one of their starting players went 1-for-9 from three.
Right. But before we get into the Celtics and all their issues, I wanted to touch on what you were saying, because Roger Sherman of the Ringer wrote an article about this, which is basically just like, the block is the most impressive feat in basketball. And it is just like, we had the Kawhi Leonard middle finger block, which was also great. It is just, it's in this day and age, and the same thing I think is true with football, right? In this day and age where offense is emphasized, right?
Yeah.
In football, like, it's all great about the point. Offense. That's totally. The players who you know. In basketball, it's like, how many points can you score? If you get a hot game, it's, you know, you're putting up 40 points. It's Jamal Murray. And like, it's just, offense is eye test, easier to quantify, easier to see, easier to like get excited about. And so, but it makes those defensive plays all the more impactful and all the more incredible, because you feel like you're seeing something so extraordinarily rare in the moment, you know, the block at the game winner. It's, you know, seeing whatever in the football, Aaron Donald getting that, you know, last second sack or sack fumble, or, you know, Stephon Gilmore picking off the pass to seal the game. Like, those kinds of plays, you're just like, oh my God, after an offensive onslaught, this is the deciding factor. And whew, man, I don't know how many more overtime games I'm going to be able to, like, my body's going to be able to handle if the Celtics keep going at it.
And you're total, it's cross sport. Like, we celebrate no hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
What is a perfect game called in baseball? When the pitcher fucking doesn't, like, when the defense doesn't fuck up. In hockey, the playoffs, people talk in the playoffs the most about whether a goalie's hot. If a goalie is just picture perfect, then they're winning. And that's what people are talking about rather than scoring. The defense, because offense is so emphasized, you're completely right. That's what sticks with us, because that's what's rare. And the fact of the matter is that game one was so defensive heavy and so fucking, everyone knows their assignment. Everyone knows how to move. Everyone knows how to be a badass.
Oh my
everyone
God, knows Miami how to go hard. Fast. They were flying all over the place.
Dude, and Tyler Hero is, what, 3 years old? But whatever, everybody on the Celtics is 3 years old, except for old man Marcus, who's 25. it is a testament to the coaching. Like, Eric Spoelstra and Stevens have their teams ready.
Yes.
Doc Rivers did not.
Yep.
Like, we'll see what the Lakers are doing. It seems like Mike Malone doesn't have his teams ready. And then when they're down 3-1, then the Nuggets are like, let's actually go crazy. Yeah.
Oh, now we should be trying to play basketball.
Yo, even with my Gary Harris love, they still were down 3-1, you know?
Yeah. It's going to be the conference finals are going to be incredible. Like, this is just going to be, they're, both of these games have the potential to be so good. Heat-Celtics, so both Heat-Celtics game two and Lakers-Nuggets game one is happening tonight as we record this.
No, Lakers is tomorrow. I think.
Oh, Lakers is tomorrow. Friday. Oh, yeah. Well, that's saucy. Why can't we push Heat-Celtics back till Friday? Anyways. I'm emotionally
that game drained. Lasted forever. It felt like it emotionally felt like every quarter was,
how am I supposed to recover 48 hours? 48 hours is, my body needs more time than 48 hours to recover from that game.
Dude. And Jimmy, what was, I mean, it's not like he's God, this lights shot. Out shooter, but he went 2 for 3 from three. And it's, you know, it's by the way, Goran Dragic scored 29 points.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing that has haunted this Celtics team throughout this playoff run. And it's crazy to say that as the Celtics are in the Eastern Conference final, but like, it has been Marcus and Jaylen have just more or less carried this team. Tatum has had huge games.
Right. Obviously. Like every time you've absolutely needed Jason, he's been there.
Right.
But otherwise
he's kind of hit or miss. Marcus has been there from the word fucking go. Good Lord, that man wants to win a championship.
He
so badly.
Took 13 threes.
Oh my God, he is elite. Elite. No one shoots threes like fucking Marcus Smart.
He took the most threes in that game, dude. That is fucking, so
I love
amazing.
It. I love it. It's incredible. But this is the thing, is it's like Dragic has a big game. Like,
yeah,
pieces to the
11
Heat
for 19. Wow,
pieces to the Heat are going to have big games. Pieces to the Raptors had fucking huge games. Kemba Walker needs to have a big game. Like, it needs to happen, and I don't know if it's going to. If it doesn't happen, there's no way the Celtics make it out of the East. Like, Kemba needs to come in the remaining games of this series and just be like, here's the 20-plus point scorer that you know. Here's the spot-up three-point shooter that you guys have known. Like, do the pick and roll, shoot the three. This zone, teams have figured out running a zone has really kind of wonked with Kemba's shot. He's not driving. He's tentative. He doesn't want to get hit because he's not getting calls. And it's shutting down his, like, little, like, you know, slide off of the hip of Tice and then shoot up a jump shot three. So it's just, like, Kemba's going to need to be the piece that, like, needs to light up if this Celtics team wants to make it past the Heat, because we've talked about it, man, this Heat team is fucking here. They are 100% legit. Their defense is off the charts. Their offense is catching on. I absolutely cannot stand, as Becca said, we were watching the game. Becca's like, who's that guy? That guy has the most punchable face in the world. Duncan Robinson is the most punchable face in the world, but
no, he doesn't go blue.
The dude can, like, is one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA right now.
Oh,
and so,
yeah.
Like, this team is built. This team is ready. The Celtics, if they want to contend, if they want to try to make it to the finals, like, Kemba needs – it's on Kemba. It's on Kemba's shoulders, because everyone else – I mean, it's on Tatum too, but, like, Kemba needs to come here and be like, this is it. I've got it. Give me a game. I can catch fire and I can do it.
Dude – it's so tough for Kemba, man. Like, what I was saying before is that it's tough for stars and, like, good players to learn how to play with other players. Kemba, before Boston, had to be the man all the time. There was nobody else on his team that was anywhere close to being as good as he. He was the star of the team. He had to do shit for them that most offensive players weren't asked to do, and that's one of the reasons Boston wanted him. Because he can be an offensive force. But then he comes into a team where it's like, okay, all the rest of you are actually sort of like at my talent level.
Right.
And I also sort of know that you're more important to us winning, but you're also awesome and you want me to do well. So it's like, you'll feed me even when I'm cold. But he needs to take advantage of the opportunities as they present themselves, Kemba does. What I mean by that is that, like, when Kendrick Nunn is in the game, when he's on the court, Kemba has to fucking find a way to be able to go against him. He has to win those matchups. Mm-hmm. He is undersized. You have to be able to go after the Heat when they have a point of weakness, and that's Kendrick Nunn. If he can't do that and Gordon Hayward comes back and is effective, then I guarantee you that Kemba will be on the bench more often, and it'll be smart at the point. And I don't want to see that because Kemba's awesome. And I do feel like some of those shots just aren't going in. It's not like they're all bad shots, you know? Like, and Kemba's really smart, and he knows how to fucking move around the court. But damn, man, that is... Like, he did go to the line. He went 6-for-7 from the line. 1-for-9, though, is just... And his little floaters, like his mid-range shit, like, doesn't work as well when you're getting wave attacks from these long-armed motherfuckers in Heat uniforms, you know?
Yeah, it's just... It's they just need to figure things out. And they've made it so far because Brown has taken that huge step. Tatum has had games where he's looked like a top 10 player. And
third best player in the league, sure.
Marcus Smart has just decided to become this Steph Curry that plays Klay Thompson defense.
Dude, if I'm anyone else in the NBA, I'm like, Marcus Smart gets to the playoffs every year, right? Like, Marcus Smart always seems to be the dude that's there. Marcus Smart always seems to be on the court when it matters most. Marcus Smart is 25 years old. Maybe I should hitch my wagon to his star. He's also getting better at his threes. So, like, all of the complaints we had about Marcus from several years ago when
the rest
complaints?
Of
these dudes...
Show me them. Show me receipts.
I know. We're all old man green. People. Marcus Smart. It's just... It's incredible that... Like, Smart and Jimmy Butler have a lot of DNA.
In oh, my God.
You know?
Someone brought this up. That was it back? It was Jalen's draft. So and it was Wiggins' draft. Who was that? What year? No, it wasn't Wiggins' draft. When was Jalen drafted?
Was that 4 years ago now?
Yeah. So was that 2016?
Yeah. Jesus, Trump here. Christ.
But at least maybe it was 2015.
One good thing came out of it.
Anyways, basically that there was a trade on the table for Jimmy Butler with the Timberwolves for the Celtics. And it was the pick that would have been Jalen, Marcus Smart, another future first, and God, like two other players. And it's just like, thank goodness. Like Jimmy Butler experience would have been fun. Like, he's a guy, like you said, he and Marcus Smart are cut from a similar cloth. So I would probably have had no problems rooting for Jimmy Buckets. In fact, I actually really liked Jimmy Buckets when he was playing for the Bulls. But wow, that would have been a franchise altering trade.
Dude, Danny Ainge dodges another bullet. Or they would have won with Tatum and Butler and, you know, whoever else. Like, it is the Celtics. This team exists because the Celtics' bad luck didn't turn out to be as bad as it could have been. Like, all those picks they had, you know, a few of them turned out really, really good. Most of them, it doesn't matter. But that's why you try to accumulate so much draft capital, because all you need is one, and they got two. And having
maybe
those
the six picks they were going to trade to Charlotte to move up to get Justice Winslow.
Yeah. Oh my God. Jesus. I forgot about that. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Like all the times that Ainge didn't make a deal and all the times that like someone outbid him. On the other hand, they've structured a team around Stevens' type of coaching that really appeals to young players, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure if they're like a team. I mean, the oldest guy on the Celtics is Kemba, and he's the guy that isn't doing so well. You know, like that's not because of Stevens, I don't think. But their kind of hyper-athleticism, it'll be interesting. I mean, they have another 10 years of this team probably, but it would be interesting to know if like just anybody could do it, you know, like not just anyone can go to the Heat and like get through their grueling practices.
Right.
And I think like not everyone can play defense the way that the Celtics demand you play defense.
Yeah. It's going to be an amazing series. Before we go, Natty, I know we are going to, there will still hopefully, well, maybe not for the East, but hopefully there will still be conference finals games going on when we talk next week. But what is your feeling for how both series go?
I I want Denver to win. I can come up with all these reasons, blah, blah, blah. I want Denver to win. But on the other hand, you know what? Fuck that. I've wanted LeBron to get another ring all year. I think that would still be a good thing for him, for the league, for history, especially under such weird circumstances, even though I don't really like that team that much. So I think the Lakers will win, but I want Denver to win. And I think Boston will win, but I want Miami to win. Like, I really want to see Jimmy Butler get up in LeBron's face. Oh, just God, so fucking bad.
I also the Bam versus AD seems...
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. And like, what if their wave attack, Miami, like their outside shooting, what if that just obliterates the Lakers' front heavy front court?
What if? I personally, if I am, I think Lakers win in six. If Kemba doesn't turn it around, I think Heat win in seven. And part of me, and I've said this many times on this show, I will stand by this till my dying days. If the Lakers make it to the finals, I do not want the Celtics playing the Lakers in the finals. I don't want to battle both LeBron, Anthony Davis, and the ghost of Kobe. So I will beat the Lakers at another time, but I do not want that.
On the other hand, like, maybe that's a, like, maybe LeBron won't be able to guard Kemba. He will have to guard one of the wings. And so
Tatum,
maybe
both Tatum and Jaylen have already dunked him to an oblivion. So he's, you know, can't guard either of them.
Also playoff Rondo, whatever.
God,
I feel like Boston is going Rondo. To be there for the next 5 years at least. So I'm like, not that concerned, especially since I kind of feel like the East is going to get weak again after this off season.
Yeah.
You know, Miami is just such a cool team. They're sort of reminiscent of the early aughts Pistons. Like, they just sort of needed their one last dude, and then all of a sudden, oh wow, this is a really dangerous team. Jay Crowder versus the Celtics has been sensational. We didn't mention that.
Yeah.
But it's such, I just want more game ones, because that was exhausting, but also some incredible. Of the best basketball I've seen in a long time.
Yeah,
your team did so well. It's just, they lost by three and Kemba went 1-for-9. You know,
it's
like,
insane. It's insane.
Like, Celtics fans shouldn't be that upset.
No. I think ultimately my feeling is this feels like the Heat's year. I feel like there are future years for the Celtics. This Celtics core is going to be around for a while, fingers crossed. This Heat team feels like they're like, they've caught lightning in a bottle and they're going to run as far as they can with it. I don't know if they just can like recreate Denver. This next year. Right. What if it's the Denver Heat finals?
I would, obviously Adam Silver and the money wants Lakers Celtics, but Denver versus Miami.
Ooh.
Can you imagine?
Ooh.
Joker versus Bam. Like, Bam, I think in that series, Denver would win the first game because Bam would be like, well, I don't know how to, I can't play this slow. Like, what am I supposed to do? He just stands there.
I literally am walking. I can't run.
Yeah, right. Like, they somehow have transition defense, even though he moves 10 miles per hour slower than everybody else. The whole thing is fucking weird. It's amazing.
I love it. All right. Well, there you go. That's all we got for you today. Make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That is how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball and football podcasts. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Long Two Podcast. We will be back at you next week. Natty, have a good week.
Good luck tonight, buddy. Well done.
Oh, thank you, man.
Let's go Celtics. Oh,
you'll see how I tweet this out tomorrow, whether or not I'm thrilled or depressed.
Also, did we mention that the Nuggets got back to the conference finals before Melo did? I forget if we said that at the beginning of the show.
We did not.
Sad.
Poor smile for Melo.